Revelation chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird." The next scene witnessed by St. John is a grand pronouncement of an event one could predict, as Solomon described in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Babylon, the very characterization of a global, works-based, humanistic religion, has achieved growth and success beyond imagination. But its success is only on a scale defined in worldly terms. There is no place for it to go but down. The announcement comes from an angel, descended from heaven. The authority borne by this celestial messenger comes from God Almighty. The glory of the angel shines forth, illuminating the whole earth. The news brought by the angel is not good for Babylon. And this is the third time in biblical history the news has been made known. First, Isaiah 21:9. "Now, behold, here comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs. And one said, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the images of her gods are shattered on the ground.'" And previously in Revelation 14:8, "And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality.'" This time, Babylon is a place hosting demonic spirits, a prison. Revelation 18:3. "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." The prophets predicted this. Jeremiah 51:7. "Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going mad." As you can see, the apostles' attention has moved from Babylon, the global false religion, to Babylon, the global commercial powerhouse. Continuing in verse 4, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds, in the cup which she has mixed. Mix twice as much for her." This new voice, likely an angel with a message from God, is warning the believing remnant to disassociate with Babylon. This warning is not unlike that issued to Lot and his family to flee Sodom from Genesis 19. Some will listen, others will not. The patient, slow to anger Almighty, is ready to pay Babylon what she has earned, and her followers double. Continuing in verse 7. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. God's judgment cares not for the harlot's pride and arrogance. The penalty for her disobedience is sure and severe. There are three groups throughout the earth who shed tears and mourn Babylon's judgment, each for their own selfish reasons. First, John takes note of the reaction of the world's leaders and the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city. For in one hour your judgment has come. The rulers know they deserve the same fate, since they shared in her immorality. Nonetheless, they stand at a distance, watching her burn, hoping the same is not in store for them. Then, the trading partners of Babylon have their own brand of mourning. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory. And every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. It is the cargoes, the profit-making goods, the merchants decry, even human beings are part of the inventory. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, Woe, woe, the great city! She who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste. For the merchants, the destruction of Babylon is truly all about the Benjamins. They, too, stand at a distance, fearful of being caught in the terrible undertow. Finally, any seafaring worker, even the passengers who caught a voyage on one of the ships serving the lost city, have their turn at the funereal wailing. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like the great city?" And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste." For the majority of the mourners, the passing of Babylon is a narcissistic lamentation. It is a dirge for their loss. For whom does the bell toll? Then John hears from the celestial messenger again. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her." The prayers of the righteous have been answered. Jeremiah 51:48. Then heaven and earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon, for the destroyers will come to her from the north, declares the Lord. Continuing in verse 21 in Revelation. Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. The prophet Ezekiel in 26:21 wrote, "I will bring terrors on you, and you will be no more. Though you will be sought, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery." Ezekiel, again, in 26:13. "So I will silence the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps will be heard no more." Jeremiah 25:10. "Moreover, I will take from them the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp." Nahum 3:4. "All because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and families by her sorceries." Finally, in Revelation 18, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near.